and married to a Kenyan. I serve here in St. Andrews as a minister. I'm based in the French service. If you speak French, or if you are learning French, you can kindly join us in the old church every Sunday at 11. You are welcome. The theme of this afternoon is rebuilding the wall. And I will base my sermon on Nehemiah, the first reading, chapter 8, from verse 1 to 12. This is the story of people who have lost everything in exile. I'm talking about Israel. They have lost the country, the king, the temple. Those three institutions are the one that make Israel a people. By losing the country and being forced to go to Babylon, they can't say anymore that they have a parcel of land that belonged to them. The king had his eyes seen, and the temple was burnt and destroyed. So they had nowhere to worship God. We can find those lamentations in Psalm 137. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? How? Because there is no temple. They don't know how to do it when they are not in their own country, when they are not respected where they are. Without those, Israel is not a people, as I said. It's a total desolation. But after several years, hope seems to be reborn in the hearts of these people of Israel that is in deportation, especially when Nehemiah received permission from the king to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. As you know it, the big cities, or even the small cities at that time, were enclosed by great walls to protect them from any external annexation. Without walls, the city ran a great risk of conquest by enemies. So we understand why Nehemiah makes the building, the construction of the walls of Jerusalem, the priority of his agenda. First of all, they must get back their city. To get it back, they must construct the walls so that they can be protected. After the construction of the walls, in the first seven chapters, he moves on to the next step, which is the reading of the law of Moses to the people of Israel. For Nehemiah, the true walls that must be built are the spiritual ones. Symbolically, in this reading, the walls represent life, represent the life of those people. And today we can say the walls represent our life. We are often abused by circumstances of life that leave us no chance. And while I'm still preaching, some of us are under the weight of disease that has not been able to heal for a very long time. Others have so many worries that they think of committing suicide. because life does not make sense to them anymore. Still, others have their businesses that are not taking off and are under the yoke of debt, and they do not know how to repay what they have borrowed. Others have lost a loved one and find themselves disoriented. Several situations that make our interior walls collapse and no longer hold. Nehemiah is well aware that the problem, or the real problem, is not that of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. He must, with Ezra and the other Levites, help rebuild the invisible walls, the personal life of each of them, the relationship of the Jewish people with their God. This is the most important work to do. How to achieve the building of those interior walls? There are not, in French we say, there are not 36 ways of doing it, 36,000 ways of doing it. There is only one way to do it, which is to put the Word of God in the center, to put back the Word of God in the center of the people's life. The Word of God is represented here in the reading by the law of Moses, or it can be understood like the instructions of the Lord to Moses. You know, Torah can mean law or instruction. Ezra is responsible for reading the law or the instruction of Moses while explaining its meaning. That is preaching. When we are preaching, we help people understand the meaning of the word, and we pray that God changes their hearts. We pray that God heals them. As a chaplain of Christian education, as in Christian education, our work is to help people understand the meaning of the Word of God. And in the reading, it is repeatedly insisted on the understanding of the law. For Ezra, it is when the people understand the will of God that they can be healed. It's when they understand the will of God, what God wants, that they can obey His word, His commandments. When the people understand the will of God, they recognize themselves as sinners and can only lament in the presence of God. But, dear friends, it's not the time to lament or cry, because that day was sanctified for the Lord. Ezra and Nehemiah told the people, no, it's not time. This is not time to lament. This is not a time to mourn. It's time to rejoice. Israel do not have to lament in the presence of the Lord, because He is the one who bears the burdens of His people. The day of desolation was placed in the hands of the Lord so that He may take care of it. And today, the Lord tells you to calm down and stop crying, because this day has been sanctified. This period, or the period of difficulties you are going on through, has been dedicated to the Lord, because He is here to wipe away your tears and walk with you. Besides, you know, you are not without knowing that to sanctify means to set apart for. So, when they say that this day has been sanctified, it means it has been set apart for the Lord. Dear friends, the Lord tells you that your entire life has been set apart for Him, has been sanctified So you do not have to worry because he will take care of you. It is time for you to bring down to the feet of the Lord all that is afflicting you. If it's death, if it's sickness or family issues or issues with job, just come and sanctify them to the Lord. Set them apart for the Lord. Let him take care of it. Because it's not time for you to mourn. It's not the time for you to cry. It's time to rejoice. And let everything through the hands of God, your Father and my Father. As Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and full, and I will give you rest. Yes, Jesus wants to give us rest. He wants to give us joy. He wants us to rejoice, not to cry all the time. And he's there to take care of what is disturbing us. The Lord wants, instead of your tears, that you rejoice. Instead of complaints, that you worship him. This is not the time to cry, because your problems has been set apart to the Lord. He tells you to go eat. Go and eat your chapati. Yes, go and eat your ugali, your choma. I like choma, by the way. Go and eat, rejoice, because the Lord is there to take care of you. He's there to take care of your burdens. He's there to take care of anything that is disturbing you. You go and rejoice. That is what Nehemiah and Ezra are telling the people of Israel. This is not a time to cry. He just wants you to trust him and dedicate yourself to him. As it is said in Colossians 3 verse 12. That's why in our reading, our Nehemiah reading, Ezra tells the people to go have what rejoices their hearts. Yes, it is time for Jubilee, not the Jubilee party, but time to rejoice. Dear friends, you are holy. That means you have been set apart to the Lord. You are very special for him. You belong to the Lord. And that's called grace. The Lord wants you to listen to his word and put it into practice. And that is only possible with the help of the Holy Spirit. He's there to help you. We have been redeemed at a very great price by the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have to live our life the way we want it, because our body do not belong to us. It belongs to someone else. So we must take good care of ourselves. We must take good care of what the Lord has given to us. We must take good care of this church, of our families, of our friends. Yes, we are the representatives of God. Anywhere we are, in our offices, it's not the time for corruption. It's time to rejoice with our own money, but the money of others. It's time to help people go. It's time to be with the Lord, because we are his. As those people recognize that they all belong to the Lord, it is said in the first verse of Nehemiah chapter 8 that they were gathered together as one man. We feel a perfect unity within these people throughout the reading. They listen to the word of God together, they lament together, they are consoled together, and they rejoice together. That is the meaning of the church. Literally, church means, comes from the word ecclesia, which means those who have been called from outside, we have been called from outside by the Lord to form a church. We are called by the Lord to act together, to pray together, and to support each other. For a parish like St. Andrew's, it's not quite easy to always act as one man. But fortunately, there are districts where people feel like family. They belong to the same family. It is good for us to join those districts and become members. That is where we can feel the warmth, the love. And that is how we will be part of the rest of this community, this great St. Andrew's. We do not meet in those districts for the sake of meeting or because it's beautiful. No, we do it because we want to put the Lord at the center of our meetings. We want to be united with the Bible at the center of us. We want Christ to come and be our leader when we meet in district fellowship. Because it's his desire to see love manifest among us through meetings of prayer, fraternal communion, and mutual support. And today, this word is for you. This word is for me. Jesus Christ came from heaven for you and I. You are so important to him that he decided to come and die for you so that you'll be saved. And he didn't ask your permission to come and die for you. He just came and did it. The way we don't ask permission to wash our babies or to feed them. We just feed them because we know that it's good. Nothing should torment you anymore, nor should nothing torment me, because I simply lay all my burdens at the feet of the one who told me to come and put all at his feet. Don't get sick because of your many problems. No, that's not the will of God. And there are no more your problems. They belong to God. The Lord wants you to see your children and your great-grandchildren. The Lord wants his children to celebrate and feel the joy. He wants to see his children happy and is ready for anything for you today. Because you are so important to him. The one who died for you will not be long in coming to you to your rescue. All he asks you is to trust him wholeheartedly. Put him back at the center of your life and he will take care of you. Do not wait for anything or anyone. Don't wait. Go ahead and leave yourself into his hands. In this week of Christian education, the Lord wants you to rejoice. The Lord wants to see you always smiling. Not a fake smile, but a smile that comes from your heart. The Lord wants to heal you, and the Lord wants to heal all those who belong to you. He needs you. He wants you to open your heart to him and receive him, because he loves you. That is the word of the Lord. May the Lord bless you. Let us pray. Father, thank you.